Hello, everybody. Josh Neighbors here, Locked On Big 12 Podcast. Today is the 18th of May, 2022. And on today's show, it is a two-parter. If you're watching on YouTube, on audio, on podcast platforms, it'll just be one part together. This is part one here. We're going to discuss wide receivers in the Big 12 heading into 2022. Who are the best five in the league? And then maybe talk about a little bit of ranking them. We'll have some more definitive rankings later on in the week, but we'll look at the top five wide receivers in the Big 12 in the first part of this video. Then the second video that we're going to end up putting up here today is going to be about the CBS Sports coaching rankings. They ranked all 65 Power 5 coaches, and a lot of Big 12 coaches, six of them, fell between 30 and 65. So we'll have some reaction to that in the second video. But this one, it's all about the wideouts.
You are Locked On Big 12. Your daily podcast on the Big 12 Conference, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everybody. Josh Neighbors here. Once again, Locked On Big 12 Podcast. Make sure you guys find us on Twitter at LO Big 12. You guys can find me at Josh Neighbors _. Find the show wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube as well. All right. So today's, this version, at least this video, we're going to do two of them today. This video is going to focus on the wide receivers in the Big 12. And we talked about running backs and how much the Big 12 conference had lost last year in the running back category. And it was a whole heck of a lot. Wide receiver, there were some losses, but not really as many as you would think. There are still a lot of heavy hitters in this conference at the wide receiver position. And so I think when you begin to think about, okay, you know, this year could be a year where the quarterbacks end up stepping up big time. And I think this is kind of going to be more of a quarterback year. Just, I think there's more talent at quarterback in this conference spread about the conference a little bit more. And so I think that paired with a returning group of, you know, a lot of wide receivers could make for a pretty solid year for some of these guys. Now, the guys we did lose, Tate Martin over 1,000 yards last year, Tyquan Thornton, 948 yards last year, Charlie Kolar, obviously tight end, and I think he falls into the pass catching, you know, that mold. Eric Ezekama is gone as well. Winston Wright, Kwame Lassiter are all leaving. And so there is a, you know, that's just a few of the guys who are gone. But there are still a lot of players left that are excellent wide receivers. And so I think this list, any list that we do, and I'm not going to list them in order right now, but I think if we think about any top five, one guy we're sure that's going to be in there is going to be Xavier Worthy. If you look at the top returning receivers in all of college football, like look at a lot of lists, just people think's going to be the best. Xavier Worthy is up there basically for everybody. Last year had a really nice season at 62 receptions for 981 yards, and he had 12 touchdowns on the year, 400-plus yard receiving games. And I just went back and I was watching some of his tape, and, you know, he's a really good athlete. He's really fast. I think when we all watched that screen pass that he took against Oklahoma to the house, basically for the first offensive play at Texas had or whatever it was, you know, you're blown away immediately. Okay, this guy can win a foot race. But when you really go and watch him on the tape, this is a guy that did a lot of great work, especially in the slot. And his mix of talent and productivity puts him at the top. I mean, it really does. You watch last year, and look, he did it with the kind of a circling, you know, a cycle, I should say, of quarterbacks last season. And you go and you watch, and it's just, you know, he caught passes from both Casey Thompson and Hudson Card. And last year, I thought there were a couple great examples of him. His route running was really good. There's a couple in the Texas Tech game where he just runs some sublime routes, and the defense has no chance. And you can just tell, you know, a second into the route, he's clear, he's free, and then he just keeps going, finishing the route really well. And just making sure he puts himself in position, does a good job locating the football. I thought another thing that he did really well last season was yards after contact. Don't have the numbers specifically, but if you go back and watch the tape, This guy broke a lot of tackles. He's a tough guy to bring down and has the ability once he breaks a tackle to not just, you know, keep taking guys on, but to find an angle and to, you know, create another 10, 15 yards after breaking a tackle or two. So I think he is a really special talent. And it's not the speed that blows me away. Once again, like it's a lot of the technique stuff. Like this is a guy that for a young age thought did a lot of things well. Now, obviously has some stuff to work on. You can be a bit, could be a bit more physical, I guess you could say, in like the, you know, jump ball situation. I actually thought he had a couple of nice ones last year, but just continuing to grow in that category. And I think he gives them an excellent outlet. I think it's a guy that, you know, whenever he touched the ball was money last year. And so any list starts with him. You think about the big games he had, 3-touchdown game against KU, 4 catches for 115 and a score against Baylor, 9 for 261 and 2 scores against OU, 5 for 103 scores against Texas Tech. I mean, this guy was a big, big game, big play machine. And, you know, had 3 multi-touchdown games last year, 2 3-touchdown games last year. And this is a guy who is a, you know, maybe he doesn't do that this season. I bet he does, but I think he's going to be an excellent part of that offense. And the focal point, I think we all believe at wide receiver, it's going to be him. Also, they used him some sweeps and stuff in the backfield that kind of looked like carries, but weren't carries. It is the stuff where it's a toss forward, technically a passing play. So I would say this one is pretty inarguable. He's probably going to be number one on my list once I make the list. But as a top five guy, if we're figuring out who the top five wide receivers are, he's there for sure. Number two, you know, if you want to argue about who number two is, that's fine. I'm once again just listing the guys that I think that will be on this list, and I'll rank them 1 through 5. I went with Xavier Hutchinson. Okay, I went with him to be in this list. He's in this list for sure. 83 receptions for 987 yards and 5 touchdowns last year. Great size, good hands, good production, strong red zone target as well. They used him a lot down there. He's going to be a guy who plays on Sundays, probably not somebody that's going to be picked in that first round, obviously. Who knows, maybe he explodes this year. But I think Xavier Hutchinson obviously was going to be on this list. And I think a lot of people were surprised when he decided not to go to the NFL draft. But to me, I think he's a guy who still has room to grow. He's only played 2 years at the D1 level. Went to Blinn College, I think, is where he transferred in from. But, you know, you see him with those 2 seasons and did have some games that were questionable, but still had some great games. That Oklahoma State game, he was a monster against one of the best defenses in all of America last year, 12 for 125 and 2 scores. There were some games they didn't really get in the ball enough. You know, the Baylor game, only 4 for 42, 3 for 22 in that loss to Iowa against Clemson. It was 1 for 34. You know, there were some games where he did disappear at times, but also had some pretty big games as well. Once again, 6'3", 210. He's got really good size, good catch radius, and he's just a target that I think is going to 110% be a safety blanket this year for a guy like a Hunter Deckers, who is, you know, going to be taking over that starting role, we think, full time. No amazing tight end. They lose Chase Allen and Charlie Kolar. But when you think about, okay, who is the next guy to step up? Well, that's the guy, right? I know he's not the tight end. We usually think of tight ends as the safety blankets, but I think Xavier Hutchinson is going to be the guy that Hunter Deckers looks at a lot just because of his experience, his quality of play, his size, his ability. I think that puts him very much on this list. So I have him in there, and he's just the second guy I thought of. Number three, and I know Oklahoma fans might be mad. I'm not at Marvin Mims just yet. Quentin Johnston, when we think about guys in this next draft class, and Xavier Worthy can't go, but guys in the Big 12 who have a chance to go as high wide receivers, Quentin Johnston is the first guy that you have to think about. You know, last year, his productivity, 33 catches, 612 in the yards department, 6 touchdowns, and he only played in 8 games last season. So he was on pace for around 900 yards and 9 touchdowns last year. And this was an offense that was, you know, he can't show what he's, you know, in the intermediate, like the route running and all that kind of stuff. I feel like because their intermediate passing game is so challenged. But I'll tell you what, when it comes to big plays down the field, this guy is one of the more unstoppable players, and it's like low catch numbers, but big output. 5 for 95 and 2 scores against Cal, 7 for 185 and 3 against Oklahoma, 5 for 113 against West Virginia, 5 for 142 and a score against Baylor. Did have some low output games, but I'm going to say it's on more quarterback play And we know that Sonny Dykes does have a pass-happier offense. So I think that's going to create more chances for a guy like Quentin Johnston to catch the football in big spots and situations where he can do more and also show off a bit more of the intermediate game for him. But I think this guy is a talented guy who was limited by the talent around him last year. A lot of changing things, a lot of swirling things last year. There's a lot of change this year too. But I think if they can get the quarterback thing a bit more consistent, Quentin Johnston, number one target in that team. The best offensive weapon they have, I think, by far. And so I think he's going to have a big year. And look, NFL scouts, they love the size that Johnston has. 6'4", 201. So big guy, not obviously huge in the weight, but can still move at 6'4", 201. So I think for him, this is a year I think he's going to have a big one. I don't think there's any debate. He's got to be on this list too. The last guy with no debate on this list, I think, is Marvin Mims. Now, look, I don't have him. I think where he comes down will be an interesting thing. Not a guy with the size that everybody else has, especially Xavier Hutchinson and Quentin Johnston, but 5'11", 177. He is going into year number three that have the COVID year. Last year, 37 catches, 6'10", 9 touchdowns for him. And this is somebody that I think we maybe thought would have a little bit of a bigger – he still had a nice year. He had a really nice year. Maybe a little bit bigger year than this, maybe a 1,000-yard year or close to that. I know it's hard to do. But, that Texas game, he was unbelievable. Texas Tech game, a lot of people, ripped them to shreds. Had a nice game against Oregon. But, against Oklahoma State, had a rough game. Against Iowa State, had a rough game. Against Baylor, had a rough game, right? So I'm listing you off the better defenses at West Virginia, had a rough game. Like some of the better defenses in this conference, he did not have a lot of great games. And so Marvin Mims, definitely on this list, deserves to be on this list, the physical tools to be on this list. But I'm looking for him to take a step forward this year, and I think he will if he can build that chemistry with Dylan Gabriel. No doubt he's going to be a top target. That is 110% sure. You can book that he is going to be a top target going into this season. And then number five, there's a variety of ways that you can go on this list. For me, I think it came down to two guys. I think it came down to Brennan Presley, and I think it came down to Bryce Ford Wheaton. So that is kind of where I am between these two, and I really don't know which direction I'm going to go in when I do my final one, but just trying to think about who's vying for that last spot. Presley is not a big guy. He's just 5'8", 175, but proved to be really effective and had a monster game. His only 100-plus yard game of the year was last year against Notre Dame. I think because – and I don't want to penalize him for – but actually the huge game against Iowa State too and thought he got that first down. That's besides the point though. But, I'm not going to penalize Bryce Ford Wheaton, I think, for the bad quarterback play last year. I just think it's somebody that this year is going to have poised to have a big season. But look, it's kind of coming down to, wait, what is this list? Is this list ranking who the best guys going into next year or the guys who might have the biggest season because of the situation that they're in? So I think it comes down to Bryce Ford Wheaton, who is a size guy, 6'3", 220, and had a nice year last year. But obviously, once again, a guy who was limited by some of the quarterback play. Jared Diggie, did throw the ball around a lot. But not always, not always most effective guy. I thought their offense was a little bit broken last year. Just didn't really get that run, the mix of the run and the pass correct for most of the year. So I think Bryce Ford Wheaton and Brandon Presley are going to create a situation where I have to think about, hey, who do I want? But right now I'll go Bryce Ford Wheaton. TBD though. So top five heading into next year. We've got Xavier Worthy, Xavier Hutchinson, Quentin Johnston, Marvin Mims, and then Bryce Ford Wheaton are the top five guys that I've got. Xavier Worthy of Texas, Xavier Hutchinson, Iowa State, Quentin Johnston at TCU, Marvin Mims at OU, and then Bryce Ford Wheaton. In no particular order at this moment in time, we will put them in order here coming up soon. All right, that will do it for this part of the show. One quick word from our sponsors before we get out of here. Today's show is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to built.com today. That's built.com. Use the promo code LOCK15, LOCKED15, LOCK15, for 15% off at built.com today. They've got the birthday cake puffs, which I've just had. I got one right here. Had it for this morning. You might say, Josh, why are you eating dessert for breakfast? I'm not. It is a protein bar. it is okay to have a built bar this time. I'm going to go hit a run after I'm done with this show here today. So you guys go check them out. Built.com today, promo code LOCKED15, LOCKED15. All right, this is part one if you are watching on video. I'll be a second video out today as well. If you're listening to audio, part two is coming up about the coaches in the conference. All right, here we go. Part two, folks. Tom Fornelli wrote this article over at CBS Sports. It's a their panel of people voted on this. So Dennis Dodd, I'm assuming, Josh Pate, Barrett Salee, Chip Patterson, all of those guys, and Tom as well, all voted on it. Tom wrote the article itself. Seven Big 12 coaches ranked from 26 through 65 in their rankings. So part two of their rankings are coming out later. The three coaches that we will not be talking about because they're ranked higher, we'll talk about them when we see the rankings, obviously, are Matt Campbell, Dave Aranda, and Mike Gundy. Everybody else was in these rankings. So let's get to it. Let's see where these guys are. We'll tell you where they are, who's around them, and whatnot. All right, so Chris Klieman is at 31. Ahead of him at 30 is Jeff Brohm of Purdue. And then below him, it is Billy Napier at Florida. Last year, they had Klieman at 37, so he's up six spots. And Tom Fornelli says, as a Klieman hype man, I'm pleased to see my fellow voters coming on board. Klieman has been at Kansas State for three seasons, and his worst campaign was a pandemic year in 2020. In two normal seasons, he's gone 16-10, which keeps the program right where it was under Bill Snyder. Now the question is whether Klieman can improve on it. I think it's the big question for everybody, right? I think there is not a level of impatience at Kansas State because I think there's a realization of who they are, but they want to see them take that next step and have one of those big years they haven't had in a minute. You know, try to contend maybe for a Big 12 championship. And they got a player in Deuce Vaughn that can help them do that. I think they've got a quarterback potentially who could, and Adrian Martinez. We'll see how he performs. Good receiving core as well. We'll see where that defense comes in. I know they were really banged up, guys, this spring. Chris Klieman told us that on SXM Big 12 radio. He said they were really banged up. So I'm wondering, limited reps, how that affects them in spring. It's always huge if you're losing out time at any point in time to build continuity. So that's something to note as we move forward here, though. But bringing Colin Klein to call the offensive plays could be a big season for them. But I was shocked that he was the highest ranked coach. I was pretty surprised. Thought we'd see somebody a little higher. Next guy, I was surprised how high he was. It was Sonny Dykes at 35. You go on to 35, and at 35, ahead of him, it is Jeff Hafley, who is at 34. And then also at 36, Greg Schiano, who dropped two spots. Sonny Dykes was not ranked last year. He said, I was interested in seeing where Dykes would debut, and I'm slightly surprised he starts this high, as am I, Tom. Dykes did well at SMU, going 30-18, but his time at Cal wasn't nearly as successful. During his four seasons there, the Bears were 19-30 and 10-26 in Pac-12. But of course, TCU is a much better fit for Dykes, as he's in an area he's very familiar with and is set up for more success in a rapidly changing Big 12. I agree with all those things that Tom Fornelli just said. You know, if you all listened to the show before, when the Sonny Dykes hire was happening, I thought, look, the Cal stuff you can throw out the window. This is a Texas guy. He didn't belong at Cal, right? You know, culture and fit like that matters. Some fish out of water can succeed. Sonny Dykes at Cal. Cal's a tough place to win, man. It's a really tough place. People like Justin Wilcox, and he's not doing a ton of winning as far as it goes at Cal. So I would say Sonny Dykes, I'm surprised he's this high. We got to see, you know, how things go at first, but I would give it a year or two. But yeah, I think Gary Patterson set a blueprint. Now, obviously, he did it with defense, but I think Gary Patterson set a blueprint that, you know, you can win at TCU. And I think TCU, with its infrastructure, with its financial backing and its location, can definitely vie to be one of the top players in the new Big 12. This new set of hires in the Big 12 is so important because you have to nail this hire right now to set yourself up in the new Big 12 conference. There's a lot of jockeying. I think that's what's fun about it, is there's going to be a lot of rotation, but everybody's going to be trying to establish themselves. The guys who have got a leg up are the Matt Campbells of these days, because they've been around for a while. Are the, you know, Dave Aranis has some success. I guess he does. Mike Gundy, I think, is the guy we put in the driver's seat, right? I mean, he, you know, I saw Josh Pate talking about it the other day, mentioning CBS Sports. He was, you know, he did a video just basically, or part of a video at least, acknowledging how successful Oklahoma State has been and the run that Mike Gundy has built in Stillwater. Consistent, awesome seasons from Mike Gundy, time and time and time again. Are they OU? No. Are they pretty close to it though, and have you know made some bids and rivaled OU and got some wins? Yes. Yes, they have. So I think those you know, those guys have a chance in a new Big 12. But let's see out of this new crop of coaches, both guys coming into the league and also guys coming and taking over teams that are already in the league. So your Sonny Dykes, your Joey McGuire's. I'm curious to see how those guys do. But Sonny Dykes, I was a bit shocked at 35. All right, next one's an interesting one. Steve Sarkisian comes in at 39. Excuse me. Ahead of him, it's Brett Bielema at 38. And then behind him, it is Tom Allen, who's fallen 20 spots. He's at 40. Sark is up actually 7. And Tom Fernelli says, this is one of the more confusing results of our rankings this season. Though aspects of having nothing to do with Sark himself, the influx of new coaches, substantial drop-offs of others, may have resulted in Sark's rise. Last year, Sarkisian took the Texas job, showed up at number 46, and after the Longhorns went 5-7 and losing 6 of the last 7 games, including KU missing a bowl game for the first time since 16, Sark rises 7 spots in our rankings. I suppose landing a QB like Quinn Ewers and other transfers this offseason has some voters feeling a little more bullish on him than the results dictate. So I would say that, I would say that I kind of agree with this. It's kind of weird to see him this high, but you think about it, and it's like, look, we still, you know, the non-wins and losses stuff, at least last year, I think Steve Sarkisian like is like building a really good roster. I think that's kind of where a lot of this goes. Now, you know, 39 out of 65 folks, like it's not this excellent ranking, right? He's still back half of the rankings at 39. So I would say like, think about it that way. Still top 40, but still that's back half of the rankings. That's the way I would look at that one. All right. I thought he would be higher. Lance Leipold, who dropped 7 spots. He is at 42. Shane Beamer is ahead there at 41. And then Scott Satterfield's behind him at Louisville at 43. Tom Fernelli says, I'm surprised that Lance Leipold dropped 7 spots, but I'm also not surprised. Some of that's likely due to turnover of our voters, but he also arrived at Kansas last season, ranked number 35. Then he went 2-10 and won Kansas' first Big 12 game since 19 when he beat Texas, and his reward was dropping 7 spots. I don't know how much more our voters expected him to accomplish in his first year. So I would have put Lance Leipold ahead of Steve Sarkisian, not because the head-to-head win. I don't really care about that. But what Lance Leipold did, having them competitive in a number of games last year after coming in at a late time and having so much flux and creating a lot of positivity around, like Lance Leipold is a good football coach. There is no doubt about that. And we all know we measure things differently at KU. So I would just say that, like, look, this he is a good football coach. He deserves to be higher than this. I would say I would put him ahead of Shane Beamer. I would put him ahead. I mean, well, Tom Allen, I don't really know. I put him ahead of Sark. I put him ahead of Bielema at this point, right? Like right now at this point in time, just because I love the way things went for them last year. I love the fact they came and got this guy late. I love the fact that he was able to get this thing in a positive direction where they're competitive in games and winning games at the end of the year, challenging Oklahoma's of the world, beating the Texas of the world on the road, challenging the TCU's and the West Virginia's in close games. Like, this team did everything it could last season, in my opinion, given the circumstances, and that's because the guy who came in and got the job done. So that's why I would put him higher. You know, Shane Beamer, we've seen guys go up and down at jobs like that. You know, I mean, I think either him or Josh Heupel are going to have a disappointing year because they've set the expectations kind of high in their first year. Everybody thinks about a natural jump, but it doesn't work that way in the SEC. It's not how that league works. So I think Lance Leipold, in my opinion, I really value him. 42, I think, is a bit far for me. Brent Venables from Oklahoma checks in at 45. Ahead of him, Justin Wilcox at Cal, who dropped 6 spots. And then Eli Drinkwitz at 46, who dropped 3 spots. Venables was not in the rankings. So this is it's actually, wow, this is crazy. This is the highest a debuting head coach has ever appeared in their coaching rankings. Doesn't come as much of a surprise, he says. Venables has been the mastermind behind some of the best defenses in the country at Clemson, won multiple titles there. I think this, just as a reflection of, once again, he's a new guy. I would have put him a bit further ahead just because it's, well, I guess it's not really a prediction of success, so I guess this is the right place to put him. But like, the vibe I get is a really strong and good vibe from Brent Venables. Who knows? We'll see how it goes. I guess you can't put him, like, you know, it's hard to place a guy like that because he's never coached a game. So I guess, yeah, this might be the right area to put him. I don't know, but I just kind of feel better about Brent Venables than where he's ranked. All right, quick word from our sponsors, and we'll get to the two remaining coaches left on this list. But first, today's show is brought to you by Rock Auto and rockauto.com. You guys can go to rockauto.com today. When you go there, you guys can find any part that you need for your car or truck. Just do it. Just go there. You guys need tail lamps, carpet, you know, you probably even have little air fresheners. You guys can get rockauto.com today. Go there. It's a family-run business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go check it out, rockauto.com today. Say that we sent you. Amazing selection, always low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. That's rockauto.com. All right, number 52 in the rankings, it is one Neil Brown. You guys know that Neil Brown at West Virginia, things have been up and down. He is ahead of Kalen DeBoer, who is just debuting as a head coach at in the Power Five. He was previously at Fresno, and then we have Nebraska's Scott Frost, who is at 53. Neil Brown has dropped 11 spots. 3 seasons at West Virginia have been consistent. The problem is consistency is enough. The Mountaineers have never won more than 6 games in the season, nor had a winning record in the Big 12. 25.2 points per game WVU scored last year. Didn't do anything for Brown, considering his offensive background. Obviously, they bring in JT Daniels. They got Graham Harrell now. Love that he's, you know, making a decision. He's making a choice here to switch up what's going to happen on the offensive side of the ball. I think they need a jolt this year. I think they needed that badly, but 52 seems about right. And then 62, we have one Joey McGuire, obviously debuting as a head coach in the college Division I college ranks. I think this is the right place for Joey McGuire. Ahead of him at 61 is Jed Fish. A lot of positivity behind Jed Fish right now. And then 63 is Jake Dickard, who takes over at Washington State, and he was the interim coach there. So McGuire, a lot of fans are excited. They're hoping for the, you know, Texas high school football connections, all that kind of stuff. But I think, he's got to be there just because he's new. We don't really know what to expect, but I think it could be a big year for them. You know, if things break right in a conference that kind of feels wide open, we'll see what happens. They're going to need some more talent at wide receiver. I think they're trying to get that right now. But I believe this is a really interesting spot to have him ranked towards the back just because we don't know about him. All right, that will do it for today's show. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at LOBig12. You guys can follow me at JoshNeighbors_. Find the show wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube as well. Till next time, my friends, as always, stay safe.